The Lord Jesus commands us to look hard at birds. Not merely to glance at them, but to look at them carefully. The scriptural word is an intensive. We are to look into birds, and we shall discover that Scripture itself contains various sharp observations of bird and animal behavior. And so I want us to do that this morning, so that we shall learn some things from Scripture. Some years ago, I was on my very first visit to the island of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, and on the very first morning, we went out to see a golden eagle's nest. There was a great crag, almost impossible to get at, and there was the nest, visible on the ledge. But we were too late. The eaglets had flown. We would liked it as if they'd been, as it were, permanently in residence in the nest, so that we could have gone back again and again. But nests are not like that. Nests are meant to be left. That's the way in which God has made the world. We want a situation of permanence, but the Lord has put us into a world of change and future shock. So I'd like us to look at three biblical references to eagles and draw certain conclusions from them. It's not clear whether the Hebrew word nesha, translated eagle, is just a generic word describing a whole group, like our word hawk or falcon, or whether it refers to a specific bird like the griffon vulture. The reference in Micah 1:16, make yourself as bald as the nesha, suggests the pale downy head of the griffon vulture. Many of the biblical references are to the swiftness of the eagle, like David lamenting on Saul and Jonathan, they were swifter than eagles. So eagles seem to have been proverbial in Scripture for the speed of their flight and their ability to soar high, to soar up high in the air. So the first of the three references I'd like you to look at is Psalm 103 verse 5. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now some commentators refer this to the phoenix rising from the ashes, but I suspect that many of them have not looked hard enough at birds and have not obeyed the injunction of the Sermon on the Mount. And they've forgotten that most birds go through an annual molt. With ducks, it's called eclipse, and drakes lose their distinctive breeding plumage, and the poor birds look dull, dreary, and their feathers start to fall out. And the majority of birds experience a full molt every summer after breeding. And the major flight feathers, the primaries, the secondaries, are all lost. And some birds are even flightless for a time and particularly vulnerable to predators. The Lord, who heals all my diseases, who forgives all my sins, who redeems my life from the pit, also renews my youth like the eagles. Most of us, I suspect, go through periods of spiritual molt, when we sit like the birds of the air, grieving in the wilderness, and feeling miserable about ourselves, feeling quite unlike flying. One of the problems of the ministry is whatever you feel about, you're expected to be there on parade Sunday by Sunday, and so on. So what this scripture says to us is that just as the Lord renews the wing feathers of the eagle, so he will restore to us the joy of our salvation when we lose it, and bring us back into full spiritual plumage once again. One of the amusing tendencies of modern Bible translations is to change birds' names in Scripture, so that instead of the sparrow, we read that the lesser spotted bulbul has found her a nest. And this suggests to us the pleasing notion that even the bald-headed eagle may experience rejuvenation. There are times when all of us need to be spiritually renewed. And The God that we believe in is a God who delights to renew us spiritually. And so if you come to this assembly feeling in need of spiritual renewing, then ask Him to do this for you. The second scripture I'd like to draw your attention to, I'm sure as preachers your minds are running ahead of me and you've already identified this one, but Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 tells us that even the youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The most striking thing of some of these great predatory birds, like condors and griffon vultures, is their ability to soar in the air effortlessly without even a flap of their wings, mounting up on the great thermal currents that carry them aloft. And the weary and the tired described in these verses, those who are in captivity in Babylon, are urged to wait on the Lord or to hope in the Lord. And when we do so, we can find ourselves borne aloft on the warm winds of the Spirit, who gives us lift off and enables us to soar. What's today? Today's Friday. Yes. Just 8 days ago, I was on a ferry, crossing between the Outer Hebrides and the mainland of Scotland, and the sea was like a mill pond. That was beautiful. Meant that many birds flying low over the water had a mirror image underneath them. But smooth water like that is a terrible problem for large birds like the gannet, which have overeaten and are desperately flapping furiously, trying to get their gorged carcasses airborne. It's all right on a rough sea. You can take off on the top of a wave. But the problem is what you do when the sea is calm. You see these birds furiously flapping, trying to get off the ground. Rather like some preachers on a Sunday morning. So the challenge of this scripture to us, it seems to me, is this. Do you just flap around in your ministry? Or have you learned to wait on the Lord and to trust Him in everyday matters and in spiritual matters too? And these words are for those who are tired, weary, spiritually jaded in their ministry. Let them hope in the Lord and soar. Wouldn't you rather soar through this year than just flap furiously along through it? Are you a flapper or a soarer in your ministry? Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And the last of the three references I'd want to draw your attention to is one you may be less familiar with. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, in the Song of Moses, which tells us that this time when their 40 years in the wilderness were coming to an end, and a new chapter is about to open, in a desert land he found him, Deuteronomy 32 verse 10, in a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of an eye. His love for his people is not in doubt. He is the one who is utterly faithful to them. And indeed, we still know that he is faithful to us in this way. But then it goes like this. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. The caring guardian Lord deliberately stirs up the nest in order that the immature birds may learn to fly. The eaglet must be scared quite silly because it's never been out of that nest before. Has mother gone out of her mind? What is she doing to me? Teaching you to fly is the answer. Now, all of us like to dig ourselves a nice little niche in Christian work. a nice secure bunker where we do not have to exercise faith anymore because we've learned by experience how to cope. But the Lord is not interested primarily in our security and our prosperity, but only in blessing us and blessing others through us. And that means that it is good for us to have to leave our snug niches from time to time in order to go out and trust the Lord afresh in a new situation. We don't like this when it happens to us. We yell blue murder like the eaglet. Lord, what are you doing? Why are you stirring up my nest and forcing me to leap out in faith? Well, he knows that it is good for us to learn to fly, and that we cling to our familiar accustomed ruts where we feel so secure because everything is nice and safe and predictable. And the Lord knows that we learn to trust him more in new situations, in a new ministry where we feel scared silly, where we feel we can't cope with these new situations. Those are precisely the places where we have to trust the Lord more. And so these verses are a wonderful revelation of the character of God. He is not a status quo God, but a God who initiates change for us and pushes us into it, however reluctant we are. I realize that one of the problems of the ministry for many of you is the very fact that you may be on a 3-year or a 5-year appointment or whatever it is, and that you have to face the possibility, the probability of change. And we are often very reluctant to leave a place of ministry. We've become familiar with it, and we would like to stay if we could. I've been learning this kind of thing afresh at the moment. Years ago, when I finished my scientific studies, I stayed on at Cambridge. My parents had been divorced in my final term. I felt very insecure, and so I stayed where my friends were. And today I'm having to learn this lesson again. I've been extremely happy at London Bible College. I've thoroughly enjoyed being there, the next best thing to heaven, with Bible teaching and mission and students, the three things that have got me excited throughout my ministry. But now I have to face a situation that the Lord has allowed all this stirring up of my comfortable nest so that I may learn to fly again in faith. And this is something that needs to happen to all of us at regular intervals. To know when we've got to leave a too comfortable nest to fly off in faith. To face a new situation. A very fine Methodist evangelical in Britain was saying that when he was a theological student at the Methodist College, they used to sing "Blow the Wind Southerly." Because the situation there used to be that the expectation was in Methodism that as you got older, you would move progressively further and further south to larger and larger congregations. And he determined to set his face against this. And that when he'd had an exceedingly successful ministry in a place called Chadderton, outside of Manchester with a large congregation, that instead of moving from there to a larger one, he would go back and start from scratch in a small church somewhere else. The Lord stirs up our nest and puts us into new situations. So here are three striking pictures about birds found in Scripture, and perhaps each one of them has relevance to different ones of you among us today. The psalm speaks to those who are feeling a bit old and jaded and who need to be rejuvenated and given a fresh set of wing feathers. Perhaps that's you. Or the prophet speaks to those who are tired and weary and need to rely less on their own furious flapping and allow the Lord to give them lift and to enable them to soar. And the law speaks to those of us who are reluctant to face change, to leave our familiar niches and the promised land. Now, all three of these verses speak of what the Lord is willing to do for you. Will you, in your heart now, ask him?